Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. Today we'll be joined by Cache County Executive David Zook and Michael Jeanfro, Senior Economist with the Utah Department of Workforce Services. They'll both be giving presentations at the upcoming Greater Cache Valley Economic Summit. And in this hour, we're going to talk about the economy, housing, growth, employment, transportation, open space, recreation, and other issues. The Greater Cache Valley Economic Summit, by the way, presented by the Cache Chamber of Commerce. And you can go to cachechamber.com, click on events, and you'll find the Greater Cache Valley Economic Summit. That is tomorrow, beginning at 9 a.m. at the Riverwoods Event Center. So you can register for that at the Cache Chamber of Commerce website. We have two of the presenters on with us today. So we welcome via Zoom, Michael Jeanfro. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks, Tom.
Good to have you with us. In studio is Cache County Executive David Zook. Thanks for coming back in.
Good morning, Tom. It's good to be here with you.
Good morning. Michael Jeanfro, you're a senior economist, I believe. What do you do with Workforce Services?
Well, Workforce Services is the branch of the Department of Workforce Services. I actually work for research and analysis. So every state has an LMI shop, it's called, the Labor Market Information Shop, in charge of publishing and keeping track of labor market information. So we do a lot of calculation for forecasting of occupational and industrial needs. We do the local area unemployment statistics for our labor force and unemployment rates. And we also do things like this and do presentations to try and keep the people in Utah informed about the economic conditions within which they're making decisions so that they can make wise ones.
Okay. Let me throw the same question to you, David Zook. Cache County has a council and executive form of government, right? Some counties have three county commissioners who are sort of three kings, sort of.
That's a great way to describe it.
Sort of thing. They're the executive and the judiciary and everything rolled into one. A little different in Cache County.
Yeah, county government is unique. Across the country, there are a variety of forms of government. And in 1984, we actually changed our form. We were the first county in the state to change to be a form that's more similar to the way it's done in cities with a mayor and a council, or how it's done at the state with a governor and a legislature, or even the national level with a president and Congress. We have an executive, is what we call the chief executive, myself, and then a county council of seven members. We changed that in 1984. It was actually the mayors of our county who decided to change that. And Salt Lake County then followed us. They're the only other county in the state that have that has this form of government. And the rest have either a commission form, like you mentioned, or some of them have a council manager form where there is no elected executive but an appointed manager.
So I'll start with you, David Zook. What's the state of the economy in Cache County? What are the inputs you are especially concerned about?
Things are going very well in Cache County, and one of the measurements that I use is how we're doing with taxes. And the Utah Taxpayers Association, they analyze every county across the state every year, and they do this study called the Cost of County Government Study, and they've ranked us number one, Cache County, as having the lowest taxes and fees per capita in the state. And we think that's a good measurement to see how we're doing. But that's something that I look at as far as county operations. But countywide as a community, I look at other things like employment, housing. Housing's been, and I know we're going to talk a little bit more about this this morning, but housing has been something that's been very concerning to me in our community. We have a very young county. We have a lot of young people here because of our university, but we also have a lot of young people here because we have one of the higher birth rates. Historically, we've had a lot of natural increase in our population. And all of those young people need somewhere to live. They're growing up, they're going to college, they're graduating, they're starting families, they're starting careers, and they need somewhere to live. When I think about our economy, I know that our businesses, in order to grow, they need employees. I don't want us to have a brain drain and have all these smart, educated young people leaving our community because they can't live here. And I'll give you a couple of examples. I have three daughters who, two of them are done with college, one of them is still in college, but they all have houses outside of Cache Valley, and they were able to get houses for close to half of the price that they would have bought one here in Cache Valley. I wish they would have stayed here. It would have been nice to have them stay here. But there are other reasons, career reasons and family reasons why there are other places. But it was much easier for them to buy a house somewhere else. And I think that's kind of weird for us in Cache Valley, because historically we haven't been one of the most expensive places to live. But if you look at the data across the nation and what housing prices have done in recent years, the median home price right now across the nation is about $350,000, just over that. But in Utah, it's over $520,000. And if you think of the states where it's most expensive to live, of course, places like California come to mind, Hawaii, Massachusetts, those are really expensive places to live. Everybody expects that. But you wouldn't expect Utah to be ranked among those most expensive places to live. But we're getting up there.
Mm-hmm. Well, why is that?
Maybe Michael could give some insights into this from the economic standpoint, but I have a few theories. One is we're a great place to be. A lot of people do want to be here, even though it's getting more expensive. Our economy's been ranked as the best or one of the best in the nation for many years now. We have a great quality of life here. Our economy is strong and provides a variety of opportunities. That's one of the things that's always impressed me about Cache County's economy and statewide is the diversity of our economy. There are so many different types of businesses. You see some places around the country and around the world where their economy is really reliant on one sector, like tourism or oil, mining. You might think that agriculture is a big part of our economy, and it is, but we have so many other industries that are very strong. Manufacturing, for example, we have more than our share of manufacturing going on here, and a lot of that is food related. But the university is a main part of that. Having Utah State University based here in Logan is an economic engine for our community, and they have helped us to transition from being an agricultural community into being a tech community. We have so many companies now who are spinoffs of either a study or research that was done at the university or somebody who studied at the university and got a great idea. So I think those are a few factors that drive our economy, but population growth is the key. In the last census, we were the fastest growing state in the nation. I think we're still in the top three. We bounce back and forth, but population growth is a primary factor in economic growth. So as long as our economy remains strong, as long as we keep having children here, as long as people keep moving here, as long as our economy stays as varied as it is with so many different opportunities, this is going to be a popular place to live. People are going to want to be here or stay here, and that's going to drive housing costs up. But there's another thing that drives our housing costs up as well, and that's supply. Supply and demand is really the main driver behind our cost issues. And I was in a presentation the other day, and there was somebody from the Kempsey Gardner Institute, and they said that we're behind right now by 44,000 units across the state. So that means that if we had 44,000 units available for sale right now that people could afford, that they'd all be filled. There's enough demand out there to fill those. So that's a problem, because that's how far behind we are. We don't have those available, and therefore the demand is outpacing the supply. We have a problem with that, though, because nobody can actually afford to buy the ones that are out there. If you look at the average sales price here in Cache Valley, I mentioned that across the state the median price was about $520,000. It's a little more affordable here, at least the ones that are on the market right now. The average sales price recently in Cache Valley was about $450,000. However, in order to qualify for a $450,000 mortgage, that household needs to have an almost $150,000 a year in income. And that's pretty difficult to do here in Cache Valley. If you look at what our wages are in Cache Valley, they're not $150,000 a year. Our current average wage or median income here in Cache County is about $83,000 a year. So that means you need to have two incomes, most likely, to be able to purchase a home. And when we look at home ownership, that I know that's not the only way people get somewhere to live. They rent as well, but rents have become unaffordable as well. We are a college town, Utah State University here, and so we have a lot of rental properties, especially near the university. But we are one of the hottest rental markets in the state as well, and that demand from the students, as well as our regular population, drives rent prices up and makes it really difficult for people to find housing.
Let me turn to Michael Junpro. I want to get the labor market in general, but this intersection of labor and housing, I guess, you know, you can find a job, but if you can't find a place to live, maybe you can't take that job, right? And there's an intersection between these two problems.
Yeah, that's certainly related. When you look at labor force, obviously you're talking about people, and that comes with all the needs that people have, like housing. Luckily, what we've seen in Cache and across the state in average is that while we have seen housing prices go up over the last few years, prices tend to have stabilized more recently. And so they're not rising at the rates that they were. And so far, at least, we've still seen growth in both population and our labor force. And so while it might be a concerning factor, it's not something that's inhibited from economic growth so far. And we've maintained our momentum. I'd echo a lot of what David said, that Cache has a lot of strengths going for it. The state as a whole is one of the most economically diverse states. We have the presence of a lot of different industries. Touching on his point of why would people move out, Cache County does have great employment and it has great education, but it doesn't have as diverse an economy in its own county as you see across the entire state. For example, like Silicon Slopes and things like that in other areas of the state. So there are opportunities in specific industries that are going to be better for people elsewhere outside of Cache. But Cache does have a lot of those strengths that he mentioned going for it. USU is the biggest employer there. You have a lot of education. It's higher educated than a lot of the other places in Utah. We do have a lot of natural increase in there going forward. When you look at population projections, Kempsey Gardner did some from 2020 to 2060, kind of highlighting the importance of in-migration to the state, that if we want to keep up this growth that we've had economically, like you've mentioned, we need more people. And so looking forward, what does that look like? How do we maintain growth in our state? And we've realized that with declining fertility rates, in-migration to the state becomes a larger and larger role in continuing that, you know, fueling our labor supply. And Cache County is unique in the fact that they are one of the few counties that is going to have the majority of their growth from natural increase over time. So you'll continue to see the presence of both the higher education and their school systems in general growing up there. Altogether, Cache County is doing pretty well. We don't see any signs in the labor market that really indicate there's a ton of weight on them or a ton of pressure from the housing. We still see growth, though it's modest. The unemployment rate is at 2.7%, which is very low and the same as it was last year. And we also don't see any big worrying signs in like initial unemployment claims. So while some industries within Cache have suffered over the last year or so, with the unemployment rate remaining low and no big spikes in unemployment insurance claims, it seems that either the numbers haven't been very much or that we've been able to re-employ those people within other industries quickly. So we don't see this uptake of unemployment or anything.
I want to ask you just parenthetically, Michael Junpro, about rural areas. I think you cover northern Utah, so there's probably some really rural areas. I mean, you know, Box Elder County, some very small towns there. I know that's a problem in some very rural towns, is if you want your kids to stay in that county, right, that town, you got to have industry there. I wonder how we're doing in kind of extreme rural areas.
In extreme rural areas, I do think you tend to find what you're talking about, where if you want an opportunity, there is a trend over time for people moving into metro areas from rural areas, usually connected to higher opportunities. I think Dave kind of hit the nail on the head where if you want your kids to be able to live around here, we need to be able to supply houses for them. But I think across the state, the governor's focused a lot on increasing employment in rural areas, increasing diversity. We see that some of the changes systemically, like the increase in telecommuting that came after the 2020 recession, has helped increase employment there. And you'll see super commuters are called, people that live in a rural area but are commuting what would be considered a very long drive, but are doing it telecommuting. So we do see a little bit more diversity that's springing up in our rural areas as technology allows those advances. But in general, there is kind of a trend of people moving into metro areas for more economic opportunity.
Michael, I want to follow up on something David said about that in-migration. I guess under the heading of if you build it, they will come, right? So you said Cache Valley is maybe a little different that here in Cache County, that the population growth will come through, through children, but a lot of in-migration. So, I guess you got to have the businesses, and so I guess we do have the businesses here to employ people. But B, I wanted to talk a bit about the what makes Utah attractive.
Well, Utah's attractive, I think, historically because we have had a pretty competitive cost of living, and we continue to have economic growth. If you look through the last few recessions, a lot of it comes back to Utah's economic diversity. And what that means is when you look at all the different industrial economic engines that you can have within a state, we have a lot. We have mining in the east, we have tourism in the south, we've got all of our national parks, we've got Silicon Slopes, we've got Salt Lake, which is in and of itself is incredibly economically diverse. You have federal employment up north with Hill Air Force Base and IRS. You've got a lot of learning institutions. And between all of those, what you see is that when economic downturns come, like be it the 2020 recession or the 2008 Great Recession or even 2001, Utah tends to be one of the most resilient states. And it's because when these economic impacts happen, they tend to have a trickle-down effect, but there's usually one or two industries that really take the brunt of what happens. So, for example, if you look at 2020 and the COVID pandemic, I mean, the industries that got impacted there was everybody, but really, for example, tourism got impacted a lot more than information, where you already have people who are working from home and there isn't the same kind of disruption in the labor market. And because Utah relies on several different areas, we've done really well historically through recessions. And Cache is no exception. Actually, through the 2020 recession, Cache got called the bulletproof economy because they had a 1.9% unemployment rate because manufacturing, it's food. People continued to make food. There wasn't a downturn. People still need to eat. Same thing with government. So much of the government's the largest employer in Cache County, and it's really just due to USU and then the school system for K-12. And between those two, you still have people going to school, and so that didn't slow down either. Is I believe one of the best counties in the nation for unemployment rate during that time. So Cache has while it's not as diverse as the state overall, it has pretty robust industries that have weathered storms before. So overall, I feel like Utah's pretty well positioned for whatever kind of downturns we come, and we continue to have economic growth right now as well. So I think that's what draws people here is that idea that there's jobs available. We need labor right now. We've got openings. We have jobs to fill, and let alone just the beautiful nature of the state itself. I mean, driving through Sardine Canyon into Cache Valley is one of my favorite views in the state. I love when you drive out of the mountains and you get the valley open in front of you. It's just beautiful. And so that has its own draw beyond just the economic factors too.
Yeah, definitely beautiful. Cache Valley is a very beautiful place. So David Zook, just following up before we go to a break here, you mentioned before the kind of unique economy here in Cache Valley. Agriculture, right? But because we have university, then tech has come in. It's kind of a mix. And if there were to be an economic downturn, we don't know, right? National trends are worsening a little bit. Do you think this mix can withstand that?
I think so. Like Michael was saying, the diversity of our economy helps us to be a lot more stable when things nationally or internationally get unstable. And he mentioned one sector that I think is key to that, and that's food. No matter what's going on, people still eat. They might not buy a new TV, but they will still eat. And we have so many food manufacturers here in the Valley. That's a big part of our manufacturing base here. Companies like Schreiber, Gosner, Lauer Foods, West Point Dairy, JBS, Casper's, Oakdale, Zollinger, they are all part of this food industry. And we're the breadbasket of the state. We're a breadbasket for the Intermountain West. And in some cases, we ship food all over the world. JBS ships meat products all over the world. And we have some major food manufacturers. Gosner's produces 20% of the Swiss cheese in the country. And Oakdale is when they're at full capacity, they're producing 1 million eggs per year. And we make some fun stuff too, like Fat Boy ice cream and Goldfish and things that people like to eat, maybe don't have to, but like to. So that really insulates our economy. But like you said, the tech side is there too. It's not just farming and food production. We have high tech companies. And what is really interesting to me is how some of those have grown out of this agricultural base and the things that have happened at Utah State University. Companies like Campbell Scientific or Autonomous Solutions. These are companies that are here because somebody did something at the university, somebody came up with a good idea, and oftentimes these ideas were related to some type of an agricultural operation. And now they're doing high-tech stuff all over the world and industry leaders. Autonomous Solutions, for example, one of their very first projects was to get a John Deere tractor that could drive itself in an agricultural operation. And now they make all types of autonomous vehicles in a variety of uses. They've even had a spinoff recently with Epiroc purchasing their mining operations, so autonomous mining vehicles. And that's a high-tech company based here in Cache Valley working on a high-technology service that originally started with something related to agriculture being studied at Utah State University.
Well, let's take a break. We're talking with Cache County Executive David Zook and with Michael Jeanfro, Senior Economist with the Utah Department of Workforce Services. They will be giving presentations at the upcoming Greater Cache Valley Economic Summit, and that is happening tomorrow beginning at 9 a.m. at the Riverwoods Event Center in Logan. You can register for that if you'd like to go by going to the Cache Chamber site, cachechamber.com. Click on events and you'll find the Greater Cache Valley Economic Summit. You can register. We'll have more with this conversation following this break. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're talking with Cache County Executive David Zook and Michael Jeanfro, Senior Economist with the Utah Department of Workforce Services. They're giving presentations at the upcoming Greater Cache Valley Economic Summit. If you'd like to attend that, it's tomorrow beginning at 9 a.m. Riverwoods Event Center in Cache Valley. And you can go to cachechamber.com, click on events, and you can find that event and register for it if you'd like to go. So Michael Jeanfro, what are wages and salaries looking like in northern Utah at this point?
Well, they're growing, and I think you find that in general. It's actually been a trend for a while. We had the 2020 disruption, but even before then, Utah was already talking about how we had a very tight labor market. Unemployment rates were very low. And what happens in those situations when we have a labor market that's really tight is you end up, when you hire somebody, you're hiring somebody who already has a job. And the idea to get them to leave the position they have, you need to entice them away and probably pay them more than what they're making currently. And that continues to be the case when you see employment going up and unemployment rate remaining low, is the idea that people are competing for workers and wages are rising in tandem with that. So you do see wages rising in Cache and across the state as well, with the labor market as healthy as it is.
So if people are coming in, why is the labor market tight?
Well, it's fueling the growth. The idea being that if there are job opportunities there and you want to maintain growth number, like non-farm jobs going up, you need more people there. And the labor market is growing faster than we can supply through just our population increase. And so you have the in-migration coming to fill these jobs. So it keeps unemployment rate low while you still continue to have employment gains altogether, despite the idea that the labor market is very tight.
So, David Zook, are you is Cache County competing, what, nationwide, region-wide? We're competing with other counties in Utah?
That's an interesting question, and I'm glad you asked that because I think too often leaders in government don't recognize that we are competing. If you think about Verizon and AT&T, everyone knows they compete against each other. It's obvious, and that's because they're for-profit organizations. But that concept is something that local governments need to consider as well, because every state is competing against other states. Every city and county is competing against other cities and counties for residents, for businesses, for tourists, for so many different things that affect our economy. And maybe some communities don't want to grow. Maybe some communities don't want to grow as quickly. But the way I see it is you're either growing or you're dying. And we've seen communities around the nation. I just read a report about Detroit and how they've been trying to come back from the troubles they've had for decades now. And it's been very hard for their community. And it's resulted in not only economic problems, but criminal issues and health-related issues, so many of those negative impacts that come from a shrinking economy and a shrinking population. And I'm not advocating that our population get bigger and bigger, but it's going to happen, and it does happen. And like we were talking about before, the majority of our growth is actually internal. Historically, 85% of our growth has been natural increase, meaning our own kids and grandkids being here in the Valley. So we are competing against other communities for those good jobs. And that's one of my goals is I want us to be able to offer the kinds of wages to people here in Cache County that will allow them to be able to live here, to stay here, to buy a home here, to raise their family here, to start a business here. And we've made some progress. If you look about a decade ago, our median income here in Cache Valley was about $50,000 a year. And we're not quite double that now, but we're close. And I mentioned, or we're getting close to double of that amount, about 83,000, maybe a little more. But we're still behind the state average. The state average is over 100,000. And so that's like an $18,000 a year difference between the state average and what our Cache County average is. And it's not $18,000 a year cheaper to live in Cache County. So I want our median wage to be on par with the state median wage. And I know there are some factors that kind of skew those numbers. For example, the number of young employees we have, they're not going to make as much on average. And we have a lot of companies here who hire those new graduates, and of course they're starting at a lower wage. And we talked about food manufacturing as well. That those are great jobs, but not necessarily on the $100,000 a year side. So we are working to try to get more higher wage jobs, and oftentimes that is what you mentioned earlier, the tech related jobs. But most of that is coming from internal growth of the companies as well. So not only does our population grow primarily internally, but our businesses as well. It's pretty rare that we have some big national or international firm say, "Hey, we're going to come and set up our new headquarters in Cache Valley." The majority of the headquarters that are here in Cache Valley grew here. They started here. They started in somebody's garage here. They started with an idea here. And we have so many of those. If you look across our valley at how many companies are headquartered here, I think it's impressive when you look at the fact that we're a small rural community, pretty far from a coastline, a port, even the international airport, major rail lines. The fact that we have as strong and diverse of an economy as we do, I think is a testament to the ingenuity and creativity and intelligence of the people who live in Cache Valley.
Michael Jeanpreau, if we were to do a SWOT analysis on the labor market, so that I want to have you talk about the T, the threats, what would be the threats you'd be looking at, the problems? It looks like it's pretty good right now, right? Labor market, low unemployment, your economy is pretty good, but what would kind of worry you as an economic analyst on the future?
Well, I think I take the question a little differently than Dave does, for example. Like hearing somebody, for example, when you talk about threats, there is very much the threat of, you know, there's a lot of young people in Cache. There's a lot of people that move into Cache as young people to go to school. And when they're done with that, growing up or done with school, they want to find another job or find a job. And it would be great to supply those jobs within Cache County. But saying the best case for everybody is to stay in that area, kind of as an economist, I don't know. People are going to want to move to where they have the best opportunities. So, for example, with David, should I argue that all of his daughters should stay in Cache County because that's the best thing for them, even though they have good opportunities other places? So it kind of depends on how you're approaching that whole thing. And I think that as far as threats go, I think there are some ideas that we don't really want to export all of our young people. We don't want to lose all these young people to other areas where maybe even across state lines, they go somewhere else for another job. I think that would be a bummer. I think a little bit the lack of there, while we do have a really robust industrial base for manufacturing and government, you know, there are opportunities other places. So I think David's right there talking about maybe some economic diversity in the future. But those things happen naturally, like you said, where these companies, you have educated people, they have an idea. We have an entrepreneurial spirit in the state. They start a company in their garage. So I don't think coming in and saying, well, this is what we need to do to change everything, to fix things. I think Cache historically has shown to be incredibly resilient. It has increased in economic diversity over time because of the people and the ingenuity and the education that is concentrated in that area. And I expect that to be the same going forward, despite some of these potential bubbles on the horizon, like changing fertility rates and housing and everything. I think that Cache has shown itself to be able to position itself well through economic downturns. And I think we'll see that in the future as well.
Anything you want to say on that? Then I want to move to housing.
Yeah, well, I'll transition into housing. I just want to say on the economic front, I am a little bit concerned about potential changes in our economy, some cooling maybe. I spoke with one of the leading pallet manufacturers in the state the other day, and he told me over the last 3 months that orders for pallets were down 18%. And he said he's always seen that as a leading indicator of what's happening because everybody uses pallets to ship everything from food to medical supplies, electronics, clothing, everything. All that stuff is on pallets. So that's something that I'm watching and I'm interested in what's happening internationally, nationally, because those things affect us here in Cache Valley, even though I know that historically we have weathered those storms better than most. But back to housing, I've been watching some of those leading indicators on housing as well. I spoke with a realtor here in the Valley a couple weeks ago, and she told me that there were a little less than 500 homes on the market, and 75 of them had dropped their price that week. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. That means that each of those sellers felt like their home had not been moving as quickly as they hoped it had, and had dropped their price. So that's good and bad. maybe that's an indication of a correction and getting housing prices back to where they need to be. But when we talk about housing, I still feel like our biggest issue is supply. And I assembled a housing crisis task force a few years ago, and I asked them to come up with some solutions. And one of the things I asked them to do was to give recommendations for what the various stakeholders involved in housing could do. For example, what should we ask the federal government to do? What should we ask the state government to do? What could we ask the county, the cities, the university? And one of those things, we asked Utah State University, would you help us to gather data to better understand this issue. And one of the issues specifically that we wanted to be studied was this issue of what people think about housing in our community. Because the number one impediment to housing growth that was identified by the task force was that cities were hesitant to allow increased density or a variety of housing types in their communities. And the task force felt like that was being primarily driven by residents. Residents telling their elected leaders, we don't want that here, not in my backyard. I don't want that dense housing or that that apartment complex, those townhomes near my single-family home, et cetera. So we asked Utah State University if they would help us to figure that issue out and to get more data about it. And they did a Transforming Communities Institute survey and asked about community attitudes and beliefs. You should actually have you should have them come on. That could be a whole segment in and of itself.
Oh yeah, good idea. Yeah.
Because there's so much great data they came up with. I'll share just a couple of them with you. One of the questions they asked was, would you support an affordable housing development within a mile of your neighborhood? And 60% of people said they agree. They agree with that. They asked them, in the past 5 years, has housing in your community grown too fast, too slow? About half of people thought housing growth was too fast, a little less than half. But more than a third thought it was too slow, which is interesting. Only about 16% felt like the housing growth was just right. They asked about people who were delaying the purchase of a home and what the reason was for why they might be delaying. 85% of those who delayed the purchase of a home said it was because of cost, because of high cost. And one of the questions was about adult children living at home. And 68% of the respondents with adult children living at home say they are at home because they cannot afford housing. Here's another one about related to different housing types near them. This one was, future multifamily growth and development should not be constructed adjacent to detached single-family neighborhoods. That was the question that was asked them. Should those be next to each other? Things like townhomes and apartments, should they be near single-family neighborhoods? And 60% were okay with that. They said, yeah, that's okay to have those housing types near each other. Those kinds of attitudes and preferences are something that we're sharing with our cities, our city councils, our planning commissions, because they're the ones who are making housing policy for each of their communities. They're the ones who are determining what the zone is, what the density requirements are. And we actually had a housing symposium last week. We invited leaders from our cities, and we shared this information with them. But that's one of the things the Housing Crisis Task Force, even though it was started a couple of years ago, it continues to work with other partners as well, with the Bear River Association of Governments, with Bear River Health Department and Cache County, to get this information out to the policymakers so that they can at least make informed decisions. They may still decide that certain housing types or densities are not right for their community, but we want them to at least know what the people think and what the impacts of those decisions might be.
It's a pretty big problem. You delineated it, right, with, I don't know, 40,000 units, or we'd have to be adding something like that every year. I know that the state's been working on this, and in the end government programs, right, everybody's trying something. In the end, is it just going to take the market correction to bring prices down to really solve this?
Yeah, I think those of us in government, like myself, sometimes we like to think that that we have control over things. But and every time there's an election, the incumbent gets blamed, and the person running against them says they can fix it if there are any issues. But so much of this, economies are complex, and there are so many different factors, and a lot of it is driven by psychology. But ultimately, it does come down to that supply and that demand. And as long as our population is growing, our housing needs to grow. And our legislature, our governor, they're on board with this concept. They understand the connection between housing and economic growth. And they understand how important it is that we provide our young people with opportunities to stay here. Because, as was mentioned, fertility rates are dropping around the world, around the country, around the state. And that means that we're also competing for young people. We're competing for them to be part of our workforce, to be part of our community. And like I said earlier, I kind of like my kids staying around. I wish they would stay. I wish they could stay. I wish we had great opportunities for them to stay. And we do. But we can do better.
Michael Johnfro, just before we go to another break, I want to ask you, how insulated are we? And I guess another way of asking that question, how interrelated? What are the biggest factors on the Utah economy and northern Utah economy? Is it national, regional, other areas in the state?
That's a great question.
I mean, we are interconnected, we know that, but how insulated are we?
Well, starting with cash and moving outward, cash itself is pretty unique. I've mentioned this a couple times. I use that word for cash. But one of the things they're unique in is when you're looking at different areas through the economic lens, you tend to look at things through what are called metropolitan statistical areas, which are combinations of different geographic areas. So, for example, up in the northern area, we have the Ogden MSA, which has both Davis and Weber and Morgan in it. Altogether, because those are, you know, if you live right on the border between Davis and Weber, you don't really hesitate to drive, you know, across there and stop at the county line before you find a job. You're willing to find a job wherever that's best for you as long as you can get there. And so the county lines don't really stop commerce. Well, Cache's county lines on the south and the west are mountains. So those do tend to stop some of those interactions. And so Cache is unique in that it's its own MSA. It grabs Franklin, Idaho too. But it's the it and St. George are very unique in that they supply a lot of their own workers. You don't find it in a lot of other areas like Weber and Davis, for example. They have such great inflow and outflow of workers that the people that work there don't tend to be the same people that live there, or the overlap is less than 50, where that's different with Cache County. We tend to supply our own workers in the area. So Cache is a little isolated in that way, just because the mountains make a difference there. We do find that people commute out of Cache for other jobs, either super commuting and telecommuting somewhere, but there are a decent amount of people that drive down and work manufacturing jobs or other jobs in Weber and Box Elder. And historically, Utah was a little bit more isolated just because technology didn't allow deserts and things like that to be so accessible. When you look even historically, farther back, you know, ports and waterways used to be the main thing, right? And as trains come and everything else, it opened up the West. And as technology increases again, we start to see services become a bigger and bigger part of the economy. Utah is breaking down a lot of those barriers that it used to have, where it used to be more isolated, and now commerce flows more easily through the area. And we're also talking about some big projects like inland ports and things like that to increase the flow of goods through the state. So the change in technology, both with simple things like AC to more complex things like being able to telecommute, and the change of how we do commerce over time from hard goods through waterways onto trains and then now to services, also increases Utah's economic interconnectedness to the rest of the nation.
Let's take another break, come back with our final segment. We're talking we just heard from Michael Johnfro right there, senior economist with the Utah Department of Workforce Services. We're also talking with Cache County Executive David Zook. They'll both be giving presentations at the upcoming Greater Cache Valley Economic Summit, which is tomorrow, begins at 9 a.m. at the Riverwoods Event Center. More following this. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We have a short final segment with Michael Johnfro, who is a senior economist with Utah Department of Workforce Services, and David Zook, who is Cache County Executive. They're giving presentations at the Greater Cache Valley Economic Summit. David Zook, I definitely want to have you talk at least briefly about their rec center. A topic that, at least among my set, we talk about a lot of, tend to be with a lot of tennis players and pickleball players. So during the wintertime, really the only affordable place has been Logan Rec Center. That's been a partnership, right, between the public and Logan.
The city and the school district.
School district. Now, I think they've extended their agreement a couple of years more, is it? But beyond that, there's going to be potentially a void.
Yeah, and only for some of the facilities. And even if that facility continued to be available, it's very old. It's not really adequate. It doesn't meet current standards. And it's always been a conflict between the community's demands on it and the school's demands on it, because it's a shared facility there at the high school. So something has needed to be improved there for many years. And as the city and the school district were talking about ending their agreement with that rec center, other cities were also talking about what they were going to do. And so I found that we were having conversations with people in Logan City and people in Nibley City and people in North Logan and people in a variety of other communities around our county came to me and said, we need to do something about recreation. And we started having some conversations about it. We kind of started an ad hoc committee to start discussing what the needs were. And what we decided to do was to get some grant funds and do a study and find out what exactly the needs were, what exactly the people in Cache Valley want. I don't feel like I need a study like you don't feel like you need one to know that there's a need. We know that there's a need. The extent of that need and how much space we need, what types of amenities, those are the things that we're going to look at. And the next step would be then to come up with a plan for how to address that. And I think the ideal outcome, well, I'm sure the study's going to say we need more space. We need more recreation space. And from a public policy perspective, I'm a big supporter of recreation. I think that's very important for the health of a community. There's a public policy theory out there that says you can build parks or you can build prisons, which speaks to the fact that if you want your youth to grow up in a healthy community, they need to have healthy recreational opportunities. They need to have things that will get them outdoors. They need to have things that will get them together with other kids. But it applies to every age range. And we're also doing a study at the same time about what we should do with senior centers, because we have a county senior center in Logan as well. And the senior center is practically a senior citizen itself now. It's 50 years old, and it's nearing the end of its useful life as a building. And it's not big enough. It doesn't have adequate facilities. It was built at a time when accessibility and building codes were different. It's not the ideal facility. We need something more for our seniors. We need more space. I love the idea of maybe doing something together and having some shared space. We'll see if that works out or not. But we're looking at all of these options. And I think a potential solution is, and the ideal solution maybe, is more than one rec center. I think if we just built one in Logan, that's not enough. If you look at how our economy operates, we've got a North Walmart and a South Walmart. Mm-hmm. We've got so many North Chick-fil-A, South Chick-fil-A, North Costa Vida, South Costa Vida. That's kind of the way our economy operates here, is we do something in the North and something in the South. So it makes sense to me, based on the way we do things here, that maybe having a rec center in the north, one just north of Logan, one just south of Logan, or maybe three. But how we pay for it, who's in charge of it, who maintains it, all of those things are things that we'll come up with as part of this study.
Well, we didn't even get to transportation. I'll have to have you back, David Zook. A lot of good information. Michael Jeanfro, we'll give you the last word here, about 30 seconds. So what's your big takeaway in terms of especially the labor market?
Well, I think the takeaway is there's a lot of uncertainty right now. You know, every time you open the news, there's something going on with something's changed. We don't know what the future holds. And I just, every time I look at the data, and in Utah, we're still doing okay. Our unemployment rate remains low. We continue to grow. There's no huge leading indicators in the labor market like unemployment claims that say that things are going south for us, despite some troubling headlines sometimes when I open up the news. And I think the takeaway would be is if you do find yourself in a position where you've been let go or something like that, Utah has a lot of economic opportunities for people, and DWS, the Department of Workforce Services, is here to help you find those. So if you find a you find yourself in a position where you're looking for a job, we can help you find one. And overall, as a state, we're looking pretty good, both in our aggregate numbers for employment and our economic diversity to face any kind of headwinds that come over the next few years.
All right. We've been talking with Michael Jonfro, Senior Economist with Utah Department of Workforce Services. Michael, thank you so much. And thank you. Thank you. We've also had in studio Cache County Executive David Zook. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Appreciate it. They're both presenting tomorrow. The event begins at 9 a.m. and goes for about half a day. It's the Greater Cache Valley Economic Summit presented by Cache Chamber of Commerce. That's at the Riverwoods Event Center. And you can go to cachechamber.com and click on events. You'll find that. You'll be able to register. So thanks, everyone, for listening to Access Utah.